At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
From Washington, this is the CQ Budget Podcast, your leading Capitol Hill source on how Congress allocates federal taxpayer dollars. And welcome back to the CQ Budget Podcast. I'm David Lerman, your budget tracker, and we're going to be talking about aviation, of all things, today, because Congress is scrambling to complete work on a reauthorization bill for the Federal Aviation Administration this week, before key authorities expire. And if you're wondering why we at the Budget Podcast are focusing on an aviation bill, it's because there's a lot wrapped up in this measure beyond just the critical funding the bill would authorize. The FAA measure is also one of the last must-pass pieces of legislation before the November elections. So it's really become a political magnet for a lot of unrelated legislative initiatives that lawmakers are hoping to attach to this bill. And at least one of those initiatives comes with a very hefty price tag. So we want to talk about the FAA bill and its prospects for passage this week. And joining me for that conversation is Valerie York, who covers transportation at CQ Roll Call and is making her debut appearance on the Budget Podcast. So thanks for joining me, Valerie.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's start with the basics, if we could, Valerie. What exactly is the FAA bill, and how much money are we talking about here?
Yeah, so when we're talking about FAA reauthorization, basically this bill gives the FAA its authority to collect revenues from the Airport and Airway Trust Fund. And that fund is financed by excise taxes on passengers, cargo, and fuel. That's used to fund airport infrastructure projects and some other aviation programs. And so, you know, we're looking at a May 10 deadline. So this Friday, if a bill is not, you know, signed by President Joe Biden by Friday, essentially the FAA would lose its authority to collect those revenues.
That means they literally couldn't spend any money without this measure?
Correct. Yes, it wouldn't. They would not be able to spend any money from that particular fund, from that tax fund, and so essentially would result in a partial agency shutdown. In the past, when this has happened, they've had to furlough employees and stall airport projects, and a lot of this money, you know, is going to an airport. It's called the Airport Improvement Program, which is for airport infrastructure projects, and that funding is going to airports across the nation. So those will all be stalled, delayed, and without much guidance on when that funding is coming through again. So it has a lot of implications there, and I can talk a little bit more about the actual authorizations that it would provide. It would be over the next 5 years, so through fiscal 2028. So we wouldn't have to deal with this again for a little bit. But over the next 5 years, it would authorize a total of $105 billion. And the majority of that is going to just simply FAA operations, you know, the air traffic controllers, which are under the purview of the FAA, and like I said, the infrastructure projects and all of the things that the FAA is able to do is in part financed by this fund.
So a pretty big ticket deal here, that this is critical funding that they need to have authorized, and it lapses this Friday as we tape on Monday morning, correct?
Yeah, correct.
So little time to get this done. Are they thinking they can get it done in time?
Yeah, I mean, last week there were mixed reports on that. Senator Ted Cruz, he's the ranking member of the Senate Commerce Committee that helped negotiate this bicameral FAA agreement. He said he thought that they could get it done next week. Others in Senate leadership didn't seem as as sure of themselves in that. And, you know, they were talking about maybe a short-term extension, maybe a few weeks or so, but it's still all up in the air right now. The ball is really in the Senate's court in terms of what amendments they're going to allow and how long those amendments are going to take to get through the floor. But as of right now, the House is unofficially scheduled to take up the bill on May 9th. So on Thursday, a day before the deadline. So we'll see if the Senate can get it to them by then.
It's going to be a tall order. And the reason is not so much the bill itself, which, I mean, it seems like there's solid bipartisan support for the bill itself, right? The Senate agreed to take it up last week. I think the vote was 81 to 10. I mean, pretty overwhelming, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So the issue is not really the bill itself. It's all this demand to attach other amendments, a lot of which are completely unrelated to the FAA.
Right, exactly. And it's like you were talking about earlier, you know, this is the last must-pass reauthorization for a little while. And so these programs, like, for example, Senator Josh Hawley is trying to attach his bill, the Radiation Exposure Compensation Act. He's trying to attach that because that program would lapse, I believe, in June. And there's not another must-pass bill before then. So tacking it on to this FAA bill would essentially give it, you know, a free ride through the Senate and the House and to Biden's desk pretty quickly. But again, you know, when we're talking about funding, that bill also comes with a lot of, you know, a lot of funding. You know, there are some, in order to, you know, give compensation to these radiation exposure victims, it would require some funding. And so, you know, some members, I believe I talked to Senator Cruz last week, and he wasn't really gung-ho about including it, but he is forcing a vote on it. So we shall see how that goes.
Yeah. And that's that radiation compensation bill, that is a big ticket item. That's what I was alluding to at the top of the show. This has been a big push from Josh Hawley, conservative Republican from Missouri. Missouri has a keen interest in this law. This was a law that, if folks aren't familiar, it dates to 1990. There was a law to compensate victims of radiation exposure from all of these nuclear tests that were done initially in Nevada way back in the, you know, in the 40s and 50s. But there's a push now to expand the program dramatically to cover a lot more radiation exposure that's been diagnosed in recent years with all of these cancer cases. There's a particular interest for Hawley in the St. Louis area, I think it is, because of uranium mining processing stuff that was going on in that region. So he has a lot of constituents, I think, who are desperate for compensation. And so there's been a real push, and the Senate already passed his bill, we should say. Back in March, the Senate actually voted to pass the bill, and it was pretty overwhelming. 69 to 30 was the vote. So pretty solid bipartisan support actually for that bill. But of course the House never took it up. And so Hawley's concern is if he doesn't attach it to something else, like the FAA bill, it's not going to get anywhere this Congress. So that's why he's really gunning for attaching it. The problem here is this is the one with a huge price tag, right? I mean, I think the Congressional Budget Office had estimated something like $140 billion over a decade for this. A lot of people said that's inflated. They didn't trust that number. But even if it's half that number, some people were saying $50 billion. But even if it's $50 billion, it's a huge price tag here, not paid for. And so that's a real stumbling block. And yet, I think Hawley has said he's prepared to hold up the FAA bill if he doesn't get this attached to it.
Right. Yeah, that's right. So he said he would force a vote on it. And essentially that means the Senate leadership comes to the floor with an agreement on amendments, picking and choosing which ones they would like to see have floor time and have a vote. And then it comes with basically a time agreement that allows for the Senate to speed up all of its processes that tend to take a little while for any bill to pass. And so in this case, it's definitely needed. You know, we're looking at a Friday deadline. The Senate isn't back until tomorrow, Tuesday. And so they need a time agreement. And, but that requires, you know, that requires unanimous consent, I believe. And so what Senator Hawley is saying is I will object to this time agreement that is necessary to move forward on the bill and get it passed in time, unless we have a vote to add this his bill with a high price tag, like you mentioned, to the FAA reauthorization bill.
So that sounds like a huge stumbling block, because they do need unanimous consent here to speed up the clock. That is Hawley's leverage here to push for his bill. What is your sense, Valerie? I mean, do they have to give him a vote then on his amendment and make sure that they agree to block it? Is that how it's going to play out? I mean, because obviously if they attach it to the FAA bill, that just could be a dead weight that sinks the whole thing, I would think.
Right. Yeah, I haven't heard yet what from leadership, what they're looking at as a solution to that. They may come up with something, but, you know, Hawley did this last time, I believe, when you mentioned his bill was passed in March as a standalone. I believe that was the agreement to move forward with the fiscal 2024 spending package, because he was trying to attach it to that must-pass
right.
bill. You know, so they said back in March, okay, we'll give you this vote as a standalone, and you know that'll kind of we'll curb the issue for now. But now Hawley wants it specifically so that it can attach to the FAA bill in the Senate and go directly to the House and directly to to President Joe Biden's desk. So I don't think they can necessarily sidestep this again by just giving him a standalone vote.
I think but they already did that, so that he's not going to settle for that again. There would be no point. Yes. So it seems like they would have to give him a vote on his radiation bill, but they would have to make sure that enough people agree to block it this time in the interest of moving the FAA bill, right? So that could be some complicated gymnastics there.
Definitely is. And especially, you know, Senator Hawley is not the only lawmaker who's threatened to force a vote on his. I mean, we also have Senator Vance. He wants to extend the Affordable Connectivity Program, which is essentially an internet subsidy program for low-income households. And he also wants to, his bill that he's trying to push for a vote on would also fund the Affordable Connectivity Program at $7 billion. So we're looking at even more money. Senator Vance has also threatened to force a vote. So those are the only two so far that really it seems like there could be a roadblock to getting this over the finish line. But Hawley seems much more of an issue for leadership, because, you know, they've tried to push him off before, and now he's very specific with what he wants.
Yeah, the Vance one might be easier to tackle. First of all, $7 billion is still a cost, but it's not huge, right? It's not like the Hawley bill. And there's bipartisan support for this internet subsidy program, right? There's bipartisan support to help these low-income households afford the internet, is what that does. Gives them something like $30 a month to help them pay for internet costs. It's an existing program. It's just that the funding runs out this month, I think, or by June or something like that. So it has bipartisan support. $7 billion is not a break the bank kind of a deal. I would think that might have a better prospect of getting attached here. What do you think?
I mean, I don't know at this point. I talked to, you know, over on the House side, House Transportation Infrastructure Committee Chair Sam Graves. He's a Republican from Missouri. This bill is kind of his baby. He's a pilot. You know, he loves aviation. And the House passed its version of the bill out of the chamber last July. You know, he had everything tied up. There was very little controversy. What's been delaying it is all of the stuff in the Senate. And when I talked to Congressman Graves last week, he said he would not be happy if the Senate sent the House an FAA bill with extra unrelated policy attached to it. You know, he's a very cut and dry lawmaker. It makes for rather boring committee hearings, but, you know, he's not messing around with this FAA bill, and he's made it clear he doesn't want to see anything attached to it.
So that's a problem they've got to work out. And what, any other amendments brewing that could cause some headaches?
Yeah, definitely. So among the other unrelated policies, you know, there's the tax bill, Senator Wyden's tax bill, that would essentially, it would offer a $79 billion family and business tax cut. And that's been a huge priority for him throughout this Congress. He has not gone as far as to force a vote on this particular amendment, but he has filed it as an amendment to the FAA and has expressed interest in getting it attached to the bill. But I mean, it faces a lot of opposition from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, you know, so the leadership opposition makes its prospects not as promising as Senator Hawley's radiation exposure bill.
Yeah, Senate Republicans, just this is this big tax package that Ron Wyden, the chair of Senate Finance, really is eager to see pass, because it would revive a trio of these business tax breaks, including upfront deductions for research and development, which is popular with Republicans. But it also would expand the child tax credit in a way that Republicans aren't keen on. And so there's resistance there. And there's also, I think, a feeling from Republicans that, hey, if we just wait out the election and we get a new president, that we could have a tax package much more to our liking that does a lot more than this package. So why give Joe Biden a victory here on this one? Why not just hold out? So there's a lot of resistance in the Senate to this, but Wyden is eager to see it pass. And it did have bipartisan support in the House. It already passed the House. So that's why Wyden thinks there's some hope here for getting it done. But he needs a must-pass vehicle like the FAA bill to make it happen. I don't know, Valerie. My sense is, you know, it's not a do or die, though, and Wyden isn't threatening to hold up the FAA bill over this. So it sounds like that is going to drop off. I mean, it sounds like he's not prepared to go all the way for that right here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound like he's going all the way on that. I definitely think that. I think it was offered as an amendment to kind of see how it would fly in leadership. But, you know, so many senators told me last week, you know, I have stuff I want to add to the FAA bill, but leadership has told me that we're keeping it germane, right? We're keeping it only related to the FAA. Now, Senator Hawley's and Vance's amendments are a little different. They're forcing a vote anyway, but for the most part,
that's a big problem.
Yeah, yeah. So for the most part, senators have been told to keep their amendments germane. So.
But there's even a push now for this credit card bill, right? I mean, that could be.
Yeah.
There's a bill. It does have bipartisan support, I think. It gets very complicated, but and everybody disagrees on what the effect of it would be, I think. But it's aimed at lowering the fees that merchants pay for credit card transactions. And then there's a big dispute over how they would do that and what effect it would actually have. But they're not insisting on a vote either, right? They're just sort of...
Right. They're not insisting on a vote. Yeah, it's in the mix. It's a filed amendment. They're not insisting on a vote either. But that bill is particularly interesting because that has been very heavily opposed by airlines and even airline workers unions. Like a lot of flight attendant unions have also opposed this bill, because they argue it would negatively impact airline credit card reward programs that provide things like frequent flyer miles and all of those perks. And so this is a huge issue for the airlines, kind of completely unrelated to the FAA. You know, when I talked to Senator Marshall, one of the co-sponsors of the bill last week, he admitted, you know, it's not germane. He knows that. Even though the airlines are kind of tied up in this mess. But he actually didn't say, when asked if he was going to force a vote on it, he said he was going to, quote, keep his cards close to his chest. So it could be an issue coming forward. He hasn't announced anything or moved on anything yet, but it would definitely complicate things going forward because, you know, this bill is turning into an airline issue.
So there's that headache too. And then there, of course, there are some amendments that actually deal with the FAA, right? And I know,
yes.
I know for, you know, for folks in the DC region, there's this big fight over Reagan National Airport.
Yeah. This is perhaps one of the most Congress issues, to come up in such a serious bill, but essentially Ronald Reagan National Airport, which is about, I believe it's only like 5 miles from the city center of DC. It's very close compared to, you know, the 20, 25-ish miles that Dulles is, the other airport in Virginia. But essentially under a perimeter rule that Congress set back in the 60s, it makes National a short-haul airport, basically a regional airport. And it limits it to flights within 1,250 miles with some exemptions. And so that's how you're able to get, I believe there's, you know, a flight to Seattle. That, for instance, is an exemption. Otherwise, all of those flights that you're seeing go in and out of DCA are more regional or connecting to regional airports. And the exemptions are, Congress gets to essentially set those exemptions. The issue here is a lot of lawmakers from outside of that perimeter want to see an easier commute, essentially. You know, they want to be able to come into DCA, but they also argue that having direct flights in from airports outside of the perimeter opens the DC area up to more tourism and supports this, you know, blossoming metropolitan area. So they're trying to get, I believe the bill as it stands right now would add 5 round trip flights outside of the perimeter into DCA. But folks from around the area, you know, like the Maryland and Virginia delegation in the Senate specifically, have said they would oppose a bill with any additional flight slots because DCA is already an at capacity airport. They argue that any more slots would add on to delays, it would add on to wait times, it would increase cancellations, and it would become a safety issue, they argue, because the runway capacity that DCA currently holds just can't cater to those additional flights. And although, you know, some early proposals of these DCA exemptions, people wanted to add as many as 56. So, you know, 5 round trip is definitely a better number for the local lawmakers, but they're still even pushing that there can't be any. They want none. And so they have an amendment, and that's led by Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat of Virginia, and he has an amendment to strip the bill of all of those slots and essentially go back to zero. And I mean, it's really blown up into this huge issue because people are threatening to, you know, oppose the bill over it, and, you know, all of the back and forth. And there's even an amendment, I can't remember who filed it, but there's an amendment also to add even more slots to the bill. So there's just not, it just seems that there is not an agreement on this yet.
Yeah, so that's a real headache. And that fight is not even based on party lines, right? That's not a partisan fight. That's based on where you live, it seems like, how far away you live from Washington, right?
Right. No, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and when I asked Senator Cornyn, he's Republican from Texas, and Ted Cruz, also Republican from Texas, they both said that they want the slots in because they want a flight to San Antonio, you know?
Yeah.
They want an easier commute. So yeah, it really is. It's not, it's breaking down to not be partisan. It really is, you know, where you're from, what districts you're representing.
So with all of these disputes looming, Valerie, I mean, the other option here, of course, is if they can't get it done in time, there's also this, what we in the appropriations world would call a continuing resolution, but that extends funding. In this case, it's called a short-term reauthorization, right? Instead of a 5-year reauthorization, they just do something very short-term to give them more time.
Yeah. They would essentially pass a bill that says we're extending the current authorization basically the funding authorization levels that FAA is currently at, we would just extend that for another, you know, 2 weeks or however long they think they need to iron out all these things. And so that's on the table for leadership already. It's just a matter of whether or not they're ready to go forward with it and kind of accept defeat on pushing this through the chamber.
Okay, so there's a lot up in the air right now, but they are trying anyway to pass this FAA bill by Friday. We will see if they succeed. Valerie will be covering it closely, but that's all the time we have for today. If you like what you heard here, you should subscribe to the CQ Budget newsletter, which hits your inbox every morning that Congress is in session. You can find that at CQ.com. You can find all of our coverage at CQ.com or rollcall.com. My thanks again to Valerie York for joining me. Thanks, Valerie.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you all for listening. I'm David Lerman, your budget tracker. We'll see you next time.